place, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman. I am helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have a very special guest in the studio with us. Welcome, Carrie Ford, to the show.
Thanks so much, Rebecca.
It is so great to have you here. I know you came highly recommended by a former guest, Kimberly Olson, and I'm just so happy that we met through her and we're getting to collaborate and have some fun and help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So let me tell my audience about your amazing background. So Carrie is a former creative director and ex-corporate leader. She now serves as an elite advisor to the world's most influential women in business. CEO and founder of Elevate with Carrie, which is a global wellness coaching company, she empowers female executives to achieve new heights through her methodologies in nervous system regulation and peak neuroscience performance with an embodied approach to leadership. This is going to be fascinating. Mm-hmm. Carrie has shared stages with top neuroscientists, doctors, and thought leaders, while working with celebrities like Allison Sweeney, Jennifer Love Hewitt, and Kaley Cuoco. So tell us your story. How did you go from creative director of a corporation to somatic healing and nervous system regulation? I'm into some new age stuff, but I don't know that much about your methodology. So I'm very excited to hear how you help female executives. So let's talk about your origin story.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely a different story. I did not know that I was going to end up here. I mean, I knew coaching, helping people in some capacity, yes. But somatic work, I mean, I didn't even know what that was. So how could I be looking for the thing I didn't know existed? And I remember my first year at an ad agency, I was an art director at the time, working on actually top brands, Coca-Cola, UBS, Equinox Fitness. And I just thought, this isn't it. How could I have just gone through 4 years of college, a very competitive college? I graduated from University of Delaware.
Yeah, that's a great college.
Yeah, so it was top 20 in the visual communications program. Wow. And I was one of five out of about 5,400 to graduate with my specific degree, which was in advertising. So really, I mean, I had to go through three cutoffs to even survive that and graduate. Wow. And so I get to New York and I'm living the dream on paper, but I'm like, I feel deeply unsettled. This is not it. Maybe it's not what I thought it would be. I just felt like I wasn't helping people. And so I knew that there was a calling on my heart but that's about all I knew at the time. And so I just took the next step. And that brought me to Hollywood, California, where I started personal training celebrities. So I started helping and coaching people. And fast forward about a few jobs later, back in corporate, back to training, I oscillated a lot. And you know, this iteration and evolution of my company now is about 5 years old. Doing executive level boutique, deep immersive work with women. And it's so cool.
How long ago did you leave LA?
2012.
Was that a hard decision for you?
It wasn't. My ex-husband was from there and it was such a fun adventure. It was a really cool place. But I knew as I was looking ahead to, you know, have kids and get settled down, I just couldn't see my life being lived in LA.
Yeah. And how many kids do you have?
I have two kids. I have an almost 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, boy and a girl.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And you're divorced. Are you remarried to someone new?
Not remarried, but in a committed partnership. And he's great. We met in the work. So he does men's coaching.
Oh, that's great. Have you guys ever done a retreat together?
You know, we've co-facilitated each other's retreats. Like I'll come in as a guest expert or he'll do it. But because he works with men and I work with women, we kind of keep it, you know, even the facilitators, we try and keep even just like female facilitators. Sometimes, you know, people's nervous systems feel unsafe, yes, with the masculine presence, just depending on where their trauma is.
Okay. I'm glad you brought up nervous system. Mm-hmm. What is the role of the nervous system and success and leadership. And what do you see when women come to you? What is going on with most of their nervous system?
Yeah. So the nervous system plays a really important role, and it's to keep us alive, which is really cool because a lot of the time it's doing its job. It's constantly scanning for a potential threat. The problem is when we achieve great amounts of success, more money, more visibility, more responsibility, all of that, it can really rub on our nervous system in terms of a lack of safety, right? It can feel, this is where we see self-sabotage happen, right? Or an example I often give is why lottery ticket winners, 70% of them spend away the very thing they just earned that they just came into. Not because they want to spend it away, not because they consciously want to go back to not having money. And yes, there's an identity thing there, but it's that they feel unsafe being the person that has the money. So their nervous system trying to protect them.
How can someone feel unsafe with money when money's supposed to give you security and safety?
That's a great question. I mean, have you ever had, I'll liken it to a relationship. You've ever had somebody that is like really into you and you're like, why are they so into me? Right? Especially if you've come out of a series of partnerships or dating situationships and you're like, everyone's emotionally unavailable, you know, now there's this person that's suddenly interested. What the heck is wrong with, like, what is, am I, you're like suddenly skeptical. It's where we can actually push away healthy love if we don't know that thing.
We're like, oh, they're too nice.
Yes.
So it's like a self-worth thing with money. Like someone will be pushing away money and not feeling safe because they feel safe and they
can't. Well, it's what they know. It's what their nervous system knows. Their nervous system knows the struggle, the hardship, the not having money, even though that on paper makes no sense. Because you're like, well, why would anyone want that? But it's exactly why the very thing they cognitively want, in their body, they push away.
Right.
So another example.
They're addicted to the struggle.
100%. They're addicted to the struggle. They're addicted to survival because their nervous system only knows surviving.
Okay. So I know you can't go through your whole methodology here on the show, but what are some first steps that our listeners could be doing to deprogram themselves if they feel like they're stuck and they're addicted to struggle?
Yeah. So we've provided you with the Limitless Leader Playbook, which is a 3-day training, an entire playbook that you can do with me. And that is amazing because it's going to help you identify where these inner barriers, invisible limits are, and then learn how to rewire them. So when we
just a gift that you're giving to us.
That's a gift. A totally free 3 days, 3-day training. Yep.
Wow. How many hours a day?
It's like a half an hour per training. So it's not too crazy, but you know, you might need a nap after.
Yeah. A lot of deprogramming. You're like, whoo, my nervous system is rewiring. I need to rest. Okay. So that's a great gift. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Before we dive into your playbook, just listening to the show, because I know some people are listening on the treadmill or walking the dog or driving, what are some steps that we could do today to get out of our own way and stop sabotaging ourselves?
Yeah, the first step is to just learn how to be with your body. So if you were to think about in this moment, a time that you looking back are like, I sabotaged that. Could be a relationship. Could be an opportunity, could be something else. Like, I'm sure we all have that. Do you have one in mind, Rebecca?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So looking back, it's like in hindsight, right? So as we think about that, there might be something that pings inside the nervous system. And the way we know that's happening is we feel something inside, like, ooh, a tightness in my chest. My throat starts to clench up and get constricted. I feel a flush of heat come up in my face. I want to run away. My breath changes. Those are all the language of the nervous system. And people have likened learning somatic work as learning a foreign language, actually.
Those are all systems of fight, flight.
And fawn, freeze. Yep.
And what?
Fawn, freeze.
I don't know that.
Yeah. Fawn is the people pleasing one. The one that will be like, hey, I'll say anything to keep the peace.
Yes, it's conflict is unsafe. Oh my God, fawn and freeze. Yes. So fawn is like overly gushing over somebody in a nervous way, but what is freeze? Just shutting down?
Shutting down, numbing out, trying to get through. This happens a lot with grief if you haven't processed that. It also happens with overwhelm when the system is like just kind of needs to go offline to preserve energy. But the ironic part is freeze actually takes the most energy because it's like one foot on the gas, one foot on the brake, and the car is not going anywhere. So it's hard to get through basic things.
Wow. So mm-hmm. what is the difference? Are they like different names for the same thing? Fight and flight and fawn and freeze. I know fight and flight came from the cavewoman era when we were mm-hmm. like, oh my God, if we don't do the right thing, we're going to get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger.
Yep.
So where does fawn and freeze come from?
Fawn is newly identified because we have been socially, you know, evolutionized. We're new, right? So we're going to say the nice thing. We're going to be polite. We're going to be thinking one thing and saying another to save face. Typically, I see this with perfectionism or just trying to keep the peace. This is how it plays out in terms of behavior. So most people know fight, flight, which you're right. It's more primal instincts. Mm-hmm. Someone with a less evolved nervous system or less emotional intelligence is probably really dominant in these and stays stuck in those states. This is called sympathetic dominance. Mm-hmm. And it's where we are constantly in motion, but have a really hard time slowing down and connecting to relaxation and rest. And, you know, like you ever get looping thoughts at night or have a hard time sleeping? That's a sympathetic dominant state.
Interesting. I feel personally like I'm addicted to the doing.
Yep.
And I have to really consciously become a human being, not a human doing, and slow it down, because there's like a dopamine hit when you're just like racing from thing to thing to thing, and slowing down sometimes doesn't seem as fun.
Well, we call that dopamine drive.
Oh.
Yeah, trauma drive.
So I could be driven by trauma and I don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
So how could a dopamine addiction be a response to trauma?
Because it's something that feels really good because we want to get away from the thing that doesn't feel very good.
So it's a way to run from unprocessed pain.
Correct.
Wow. This is getting deep. Woo. I love this. I love this conversation. Wow. So you say in your bio that you're Holy High Council. What does that mean?
So really returning women back to themselves. I'm super spiritual. God is my boo. But I actually don't go to church. I never went to church growing up. And I found God, he found me in my divorce. And what that looked like for me was really knowing how to surrender as an active state. Really operating in the space of blind faith, because you kind of have to be a little bit delusional when you're an entrepreneur. You have an idea, you have a vision, you have a vantage point that you're working toward, and you might have zero proof that this can be done in your immediate family and nuclear family. That's the family I came from. My dad was really successful, but in corporate. My mom stayed home and my sister went in corporate. So I was kind of the black sheep. And I developed this level of delusional blind faith. And I really liken that to my relationship with God, where it was like, just say the next yes, just take the next step and trust that this vision, that where you're being led, it will work out. And that was a really dark time for me in my divorce. So that was like all I had in that moment. When you're in the valley, you're like, man, I hope there is sight for sure ahead, but I just have the next yes. And so when I say that I'm the Holy High Council, really where I have the most impact and influence is in the ears and in the minds and in the nervous systems of the other women that have the most impact and influence. Most people scale their business out by reaching more physical people. The way that I reach more people is through the women that already have the influence and impact. And I watch this work just infiltrate into their influence. And it's so cool. So who they lead, how they show up in leadership, the corporation, the movement that they're leading, and the way that they make shifts with those people looking up to them, that's the ripple effect. So really starting at the top and trickling it down.
Thank you for explaining that. Everyone, you are listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show with Rebecca Whitman. We are going to cut to a very quick commercial break. And when we come back, we have an expert here, Carrie Ford. She's going to explain what is somatic success. And you're definitely going to want to understand this. So hurry back. Welcome back, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today we have Carrie Ford on the show. Carrie, what is somatic success?
So I found that in the personal development space, when I first started this journey, that there were healing spaces and there were business spaces. We do both. I really wanted to bring those two things together because what I found was while the healing was transformational in the way that it, you know, expanded my consciousness or it gave me new awareness, there comes a certain point in time that you don't struggle with the awareness. And you're like, now what? What do I do with this information? Like, I don't want to just be healing all the time. That's it. It also can just be the, you know, this very cyclical thing. So then there's the business spaces and it's all strategy and it feels so masculine and all the drive. And to your point earlier, it almost like rubs into and perpetuates this constant need to do. It's never enough. I'm always out of time. I'm overscheduled. I'm exhausted running from one thing to the next. And so I'm like, there has to be a way to bring these things together. So I do what's called applied somatic work. I came up with that term in a way that I bring nervous system strategies as the strategy to business. So what this looks like is 80% of the work we do is nervous system based. And then the rest of that is how we apply it. Because most of the time they're not struggling with what to do. It's who they're being when they do it.
So what they're doing, it's who they're being. And if they're just in their masculine energy running around, they can't really be grounded and connect with
their client. Or they wouldn't want their next level of growth because who would want it if you already feel like you're maxed out? And I want to keep women at the top in those leadership positions because we need them.
Yes. So this whole show is about not burning out and being balanced, beautiful, and abundant. What are some of your favorite tools to prevent burnout?
Ooh, and it does depend on the nervous system, right? Is it more of a sympathetic dominant state? Does that nervous system go into, you know, we have an archetype framework that we bring to the conversation, but do you typically go in fight or flight? What does that look like? Because what's nourishing for your nervous system might be different for somebody who tends to go more in freeze or fawn. But an example could be if it's someone in flight, I might recommend something in stillness, meditation. It's a little bit counterintuitive to their nervous system. I also might encourage them to follow the energy of, you know what, I want to just get away. Okay, great. Let's go on a walk and let's follow the energy of that so that we can do what's called complete the stress and discharge that cycle.
That's juicy. Yeah. What is that technique? Complete the stress and discharge that cycle. What is that?
So if we cut off the stress response, right? Fight, flight, fawn, freeze, and they all have different levels of activation. If we cut that off before that is complete, then it's get stuck in our body and we continue to relive it, right? Looping thoughts as we're trying to go to bed. It didn't fully discharge. It feels like this extra kinetic energy specifically with that one. And so I might say, let's move through that. What does the body want to do? Is there an impulse that wants to happen? And this is where, you know, the guidance of having me with their nervous system is really helpful because we don't consciously think about these things or even notice them. And that's kind of the point when the nervous system's doing its job.
Yeah. So you discharge it, meaning whatever
complete the cycle so that the body can rest and relax.
So you don't carry it to your next activity.
Yep.
Exactly. Well, that is very, very helpful. So you deal with a lot of high executive types, type A's. They seem to already have it all. Mm-hmm. What are some of their roadblocks to success personally and professionally? What are some common themes that you're seeing in your clients?
Yeah, they feel like they're not really present anywhere. They feel like they beat themselves up if they have a family. I am not really with my kids because I'm like, just one more email and then an hour later, right? Or they're pulled in different directions, or they might be really poor actually at boundaries because they already default to working more. Mm-hmm. They also are the high earner in their household, which does shift their marriage, can be really challenging sometimes when that changes the dynamic in the partnership. If it all falls on you, there's high overhead, there's high stakes, there's a team, mm-hmm. You know, you got to make more money to pay more team. And maybe they have real estate. They're just pulled in a lot of different directions. And so my focus there is often to prioritize their mental health, which doesn't mean going to Hawaii to, you know, sell scrunchies on the beach. We still need them to show up, but how can we do it in a way that actually starts to feel good, create boundaries, and increase their energy? And that's where the nervous system rewiring comes in.
That is such a funny analogy. So with men, they fantasize about going to the Caribbean and being a fisherman. Your clients fantasize about going to Hawaii and selling scrunchies on the beach. Yeah. Did you make that up or did one of your clients say that?
No, business partner and I used to joke about that, actually. Or it's like, you know, she's like, I'm just going to become a barista and make, you know, fancy coffee art somewhere and just get a job that doesn't feel like so much pressure.
Yeah, that is really cute. Okay, what is body optimization protocol? That's another one of your techniques.
I love that you're asking this. So my background is in fitness. I've always had a very holistic lens. I believe in the ability to rewire, rewrite, self-heal. And so bringing this in, I always think about how can I have a client receive the most out of our time together? Like what is going to really prepare her body, her mind, her spirit to receive the most? We don't want to just like invest in a mentor for fun and like, you know, consume concepts. We want to embody them. We want to show up in the work. We want to change things and have actual transformation. And a side note, most women that come to me are like, Carrie, I've really done it all. And they're a little skeptical. I've done years of therapy. I've done this. I've done that. It hasn't stuck. This is work that actually rewires the system and creates new neural pathways. So the body optimization protocol it's a loose set of suggestions to optimize their body for receiving the highest clarity, cognitive peak through our coaching. So it might be nutrition, a couple of servings of daily greens a day, for example, right? Elevate our vitamin B and our iron, lemon water, which actually lemons are alkaline in water, believe it or not, as we ingest it, even though it's acidic outside the body. So we're paying attention to pH balance, listening to binaural beats or a certain frequency type of music. So there's suggestions in there. And then
what are your favorite frequencies for music?
Mm-hmm. There's one called Meditative Mind on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I love this because you can choose the intention and it's like a 9 to 11 hour audio. So you can play it while you're sleeping.
You could just play it all day in the background while you're working.
Yeah, totally.
Called Meditative Mind on YouTube.
Yep.
And you like binaural beats?
Yep. And there's another app called, or that one's just a YouTube channel. This one's an app called Ananda, A-N-A-N-D-A. Mm-hmm. That one is great for meditating. It's no guidance. Just, you know, you can set an intention that like intuition, creativity, and there's like a different frequency for each one.
What do you think about guided meditation for people who can't quiet their mind?
Great. I think it's a perfect place to start. If you're not going to listen to your mind, then listen to somebody else's voice.
But the goal is to move away from that just to like...
I mean, not necessarily, right? It's like when you try a workout class, if you only tried one spin class or one yoga class with one teacher ever, you might hate it. But if you tried it with another teacher in another place, you might love it. So it really just depends.
Yeah.
And it depends on your nervous system. And I think do what works for you.
Let's talk about your morning routine because you are in great shape. You're beautiful. And we all want to know step by step supplements, lemon water, coffee or not, tea. Like, walk us through your morning routine.
Yeah. So I get up at 4:45 some mornings. And that's not to go do, it's actually to be part of a prayer club. So it's called the 5 a.m. prayer club. It's a place I get to receive and not be in charge. I'm a leader.
Is that a Zoom call or what?
It is. It's a Zoom call. There's more than 600 people in it. Not always on that same call. Like they're in the group and it's great. It's 20 minutes long. So I start my day in the posture of God.
So that's before the lemon water. You're just like rolling out of bed onto the Zoom.
Yep. Video is off.
Okay. That's the first thing.
Yeah. The video's off and 5:20. Then I'm making coffee. We have a Chemex that we do pour over coffee with. Mm-hmm. So fresh ground coffee in the morning. Good coffee is like a non-negotiable. I just think life is too short for like bad champagne and crappy coffee. So yeah, good coffee. I love my organic creamer. That's
What's
like
the name of your machine, your coffee
it's
machine?
It's a Chemex. So it looks like a water pitcher, but you put in like a paper filter and you literally pour water over it. It's like pour over coffee. So
kind of like a modern French press.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. So you do the coffee and what kind of creamer do you use?
It's organic, half and half, just like Organic Valley, but it's like the one dairy that I'm like, I'm not giving this up.
Okay. So you put the creamer in. Any sweetener?
No sweetener.
All right, next up.
And then I sit on the couch and I read. So I have a book that I'm typically diving into. As much as I try for it to be something that's non-business related or non-personal development related, I'm just fascinated by all things psychological, and I'm always wanting to learn. I think it's what makes me a great teacher is my ability to be a great student. So diving into a book, I'll sit up on the couch, at which point then my partner Jake will get up, and around 5:45, you know, we greet
each other. How long are you reading for?
How long what?
How long do you read?
Like 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Not super long enough that I have, you know, some stuff. Then I'm usually hungry and he's making a smoothie for us. He makes a smoothie for us every day. And that's protein powder and fruit and almond milk.
Nice.
Sometimes a handful of greens. So that's breakfast. And then sometimes, not every day, I'll meditate. And that's maybe 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. I do that when I'm close to an event. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I use that to play out what's going to happen. So
visualization.
I visualize exactly how is it, what do I want the intention to be? How is this going to play out? What are the words that are leaving their lips as they're going home on the plane in reflection of what just happened?
Beautiful.
And then from there, I reverse engineer the exercises that we're doing, the intentions I set, the way that I create the networking exercises too. So it's all very curated.
And how many minutes do you do of visualization?
Like 20. It's nothing crazy.
That's
long.
A lot. No, 20 yeah. minutes is a lot. And yeah. then what do you do after that? You work out? Well,
I might go, I'm usually going to my desk to work. I might look at my financial spreadsheet, track budget. I follow profit first. I might move some money around, kind of take a beat on that, look at payments coming in, you know, just get the financial forecast for the company.
And then when do you exercise?
2 to 3 times a week. And I have a Peloton in my office, but usually in the afternoon.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's like a midday break before rush hour because the gym is super busy in the morning and at night. So in the middle.
Love this. And when does the lemon water and the greens come in?
Yeah, just whenever throughout the day. Sometimes
do you
in the morning.
Greens or actual greens?
Powdered greens. Yeah.
And
actually, a company that I worked with for a while, I had breast explant surgery and they helped me with like the whole healing journey with that. It's called Cenogenics.
Mm-hmm.
And the CEO is a former client of mine. And they have a greens powder that you can just add to water. And super, so I might take that to the gym with me. It's just easy. Or add it to the protein shake.
Wow. Well, I love your routine. You look beautiful.
Thank you.
We are going to take a quick commercial break. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to this show. Share this with a friend. Tag it if you're listening live on social. Tag someone who you think wants success, but maybe they have a block and they don't know what it is. That person would love this show. We're going to cut to a quick commercial break. It's Rebecca Whitman interviewing Carrie Ford. And when we come back, we're going to actually ask Carrie, what are some signs that your past trauma might just be sabotaging your life or your business? Thank you so much for listening. We're happy you're here. And we'll be right back after this very quick break. Welcome back, everyone. This is Rebecca Whitman taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Carrie, what are some signs that past trauma is holding you back from the love, the money, the success, the health that you want to experience in life?
Seeing the same patterns play out with different faces.
Mm.
And you realize that you're the common denominator. So hiring and firing. Your team never seems to be doing fill in the blank. You keep experiencing more of the same. And you're like, no matter what I try, do, or whatever, it's like not changing.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is just boom. You just hit the nail on the head. So if you're listening to this and your life feels like Groundhog's Day, right?
Yes.
Same spaces, different places. It's like doing a geographic. Mm-hmm. Wherever you go, there you are. Same pattern, same type of relationship, same team members, same bosses, same employees over and over and over again.
Yep.
You are living out of your past trauma. So what are some ways to break these habits and these patterns that are so, I mean, I know you talked about neural pathways. These are neural pathways that are so deeply ingrained in your brain. How do we start to rewire once we realize that we're reliving our past trauma?
Yeah, well, if we want to know what we believe, we have to look at our results. They'll tell you everything that you believe. So a cognitive exercise you can do is literally writing out everything you believe about something. So there was this book that I was reading, for example, and it was all about money. And a belief that I had was like, it was more tactical. So it was like doing math equations. And I was like, oh gosh, my brain is feeling like cross-eyed here. And I noticed this belief that came up, which was like, I'm just bad at numbers. This feels really hard. And I was like, interesting. I'm going to write that down. I'm bad at numbers. And I was like, what else is there if I listen for a moment? And you'll start to hear this soundtrack, this inner talk track that just is on repeat, like a recording. And it's not necessarily reality, but it is your reality. And so if you can just presence those and write those down, that's one game changer, is just to be like, oh my gosh, there's that, right? And then you can start to practice what I call, and I've heard in the personal development space, is flip the script. You may have heard of this, or you just start to literally write the opposite of that. It might feel like a lie. So I would write down, okay, I'm really bad with numbers. But then the opposite statement would be, I'm amazing with numbers. Numbers are easy. And it might feel like a blatant lie, but that's the point. It's to put a book on the shelf of doubt and know that there could be a possibility for something else.
Wait, that is so poetic. To put a book on the shelf of doubt. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
It means to just challenge the belief, to know that it's just your belief. It's not the truth.
Put a book on the shelf of doubt.
Yeah.
It's itself. Yeah, shelf of doubt. Like
on the shelf of doubt. Yep.
Challenging your negative belief.
Yeah. Challenge your belief. We got to change your belief if you want a different result, right? Because the results reveal what you believe.
Why don't we do an example? Because I work a lot with women who want to manifest their soulmate in midlife.
Yeah.
And
I'm too old, they might say.
Right. So let's use that as an example. Somebody, you know, wants to manifest their soulmate. They're 50 years old. And they're like, I'm too old. I've aged out of the dating game. I've become resigned to live the rest of my life alone. How would you work that process with someone who had that limiting belief?
Pull out that sheet of paper, get all those thoughts out that challenge what you want. So the goal and what you want, I want to manifest my dream life partner, right? And then from that, and this is where the mind and the body become at odds and what feels unsafe to have, by the way. Mm-hmm. So you write down every single thought, just get it all out. There's that till it's exhaustive. I'm too old. No one will want me. I've got too much baggage. I've been married 3 times and never worked now. I'm not attractive anymore. I've been out of the dating game forever. Write them all down. Leave some space underneath each one. And then go back and write the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I have plenty of life left.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many men out there that would want me, that love grown kids, that want a blended family. So you just write all those down. And it's
the opposite of each limiting belief.
Correct. And you write multiple ones if they come to you. You just dream of consciousness.
And what do you do with those? I mean, then how do you take that exercise and integrate it into your life?
Yeah. I mean, that's really the first step, right?
Right.
Then we do some of the rewiring. If here it's the starting point is that it feels like a lie, but there might be some that's like, oh, that's interesting. I never thought about it that way. And you're going to notice your thoughts more when you do this because now you've presenced them. And you're also going to have a different perception or maybe a reframe that you hadn't thought of before. And from there comes a new possibility. So that's the starting place. Then you can do some rewiring work around that, which is like, well, I still don't believe it completely to be true. Or every time I think about, well, you know, I'm too old, this happens in my body. And then at least we have an access point into the nervous system to know where to do the rewiring between who you are now and what you say you want.
So the rewiring is what?
That's the somatic work. So that's where we start doing, you know, okay, as you say that, as you say, I'm too old. I still feel like I'm too old for my partner mm-hmm. at this point in my life. Okay. What do you feel in your body as you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I just feel really sad and I feel like a heaviness in my chest. Okay. And then that's where my job comes in because then I start tracking your nervous system, which looks like seeing what happens next. And then we do the rewiring work, which it's super hard to explain, I'll be honest with you, but it is me guiding you through what you feel next. And then you also telling me what happens next. And then we bring you to the trauma vortex and the counter vortex to rewrite and rewire literally the nervous system in real time.
What's the trauma vortex?
Trauma vortex is the one that, like, you know, oh, I'm too old for this relationship, too old to meet my life partner. And that's where you stay. That's the trauma vortex. And like, the more you stay there, the more you spiral. It's like, I can't get out of this. I can't escape this reality. It keeps being true. I keep feeling the same exact way. I can't see outside the box. I can't find my way out.
It's the other vortex that you
counter have. Vortex is where, yep. So it's like, oh, well, I feel tightness in my chest, or I feel heaviness. Okay. What feels less heavy? The reason this is important in trauma work is because now you might start to learn how to have access to something that's not the trauma. We miss that. There was a quote that went viral and it said, I'm not healing to be able to handle the hard stuff. I'm healing to be able to feel the joy. We know the hard stuff. That's the trauma vortex. What about capacity for joy and ease? Otherwise, we upper limit. It's too good to be true. The minute someone's available and says, you know, you're young enough for me and vibrant and like, you're super sexy and I love women in their 50s. Yeah. You're going to be like, really? You're going to be skeptical because you don't really embody that. You don't really believe that, and your nervous system's responding.
Wow. This is great work that you're doing. So we talked about some of the blocks that successful leaders have. What are some of the positive characteristics that successful leaders have in common that you've worked with or that you're striving towards with them?
Well, y'all are fast integrators, and I love that. And you actually have, you know, these amazing resources. So to see them put it in action with their team, with motherhood, with their partners, like, it's really just their life becomes more alive. And that's really the goal and the measure of success with nervous system work. It's two things. It's to be agile and to be alive. We don't want to be stuck in one place for too long. What's that?
The two A's are the goals.
Yep, exactly. It's a different kind of type A.
Agile and alive. Love
it. Yeah. Yep. So agility to move through hard things, because life can be hard and it blindsides us. But if we can move through it faster, we can get things done with more ease. And aliveness to feel anything at all, right? Even the not so great stuff, and to be able to stay there. So they're able to integrate faster, which is really cool. They know the power of growth. They're willing to invest in their next level. They know that they take a level of personal responsibility. So they know that they're kind of like the source of some of this, right? Like, I keep experiencing more of the same. Like, I know that there's part of me that's the source of this. So I have the power to rewire it and change that. They have really great visions. The women I work with are so cool. They have amazing visions and they're doing work that's changing the world. And that's why I think they need to stay in those positions.
Without getting sick. And
without getting burned out and wanting to move to Hawaii, you know? Yeah. Oh, Hawaii might be nice too.
On the beach, right?
Yep, right.
So I know I asked you this before, but let's just talk about some actionable practices that people can do right here today. They're listening to the show. Mm-hmm. They finish the show. They're like, all right, I'm inspired by Carrie Ford. I want to calm the F down, get my nervous system to a flow state so I don't feel like I'm in fight or flight or fawn and freeze. How can I do that? Like, today, what can I do differently? How can I be differently?
The first thing you can do is just connect with the five senses. Like, we have this amazing body that can tune into the five senses. So if we're bringing the past into the present and it's dictating our future, if we're anywhere but where our feet are planted, then we need to connect to right now. There's so much richness to being here right now. And that's really one of the fastest ways to calm down and get regulated. So what that looks like is, in this moment, you feel it, you feel your back against the chair you're in. Mm-hmm. And just notice that pressure. It might be to hear the most distant sound in your space. Mm-hmm. It might be to look around and find the four corners of the room that you're in. Just to look around. Or notice if your eyes land on an object that brings you joy. something you smell. Like I have candles in my office. The olfactory sense is the most powerful. It's the most connected to memory. Smelling something that brings you joy could be lavender, could be something else. You know, I have clients that love essential oils or a Palo Santo, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then taste, like I taste the coffee in my mouth that I just had a sip of, and just noticing, just learning how to notice. It's almost like doing a meditation awake.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really
mindfulness.
Yeah.
Being mindful, engaged in the five senses.
Yep. Sight, smell, sound, touch. We went through all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any other tips?
We have a
trick. I thought was like movement, like ecstatic dance is somatic. And
no, and that depends. I mean,
what does it mean, like somatic? Yeah.
I thought so. Soma means of the body. So that's the thing about, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, somatic yoga or somatic breath work, but it's like labeling an apple gluten free. It already exists gluten free. Those are inherently somatic.
Okay.
Because they're of the body. So movement is great. And to breath work to somebody who survived strangulation trauma, that would be very triggering for them. They might feel like they're limited and can't get enough breath. Their body mm-hmm. might remember that moment. Or somebody that had a trauma with their body and don't feel safe to express it and move it in an ecstatic dance way. Again, it might be overly activating at first for them and not a great way. So mm-hmm. it depends on the nervous system. And we go slow with those things because everyone's different. I have some clients that are like, I love sound baths, and others are like, I hate it. That's okay.
Yeah. So what are the different archetypes of, what are they called?
Yeah, we have eight of them. So in fight, flight, fawn, freeze, there's two in each. Mm-hmm. We've got the controller and the pusher in fight. We've got the alarmist and the futurist in flight, like never where you really are. Got to get it done now. Has to be done yesterday. Freeze is the robot. And I'm like blanking on the other one. And the victim, the one where you feel powerless, like everything's happening to you, not for you. I have no choice. And then we have the perfectionist and the people pleaser under fawn. So of those,
I can identify with all of them.
Yeah, totally. And we do because we have a nervous system that does go to all of them. And which one is how you, when stress comes online, the one that most happens most often. So that's the one we work with. So when our bodies go into high levels of stress, where do we more dominantly go? Right. You mentioned you tend to be more flight response, go, 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 hard to relax, hard to slow down, but doing comes easy. So that's probably more flight.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm so excited that you've been on the show, and I'm going to go to Atlanta to your champagne dinner and get my first somatic experience with you. Yeah. So I'm so thrilled to be able to benefit by your expertise. And I know my listeners are going to want to get that free 3-day event and find you online and know about your website. So how can we stay in touch with you?
Everything is on ElevateWithKerrie, KERI.com. If you check out the Wealth Vault, there are a bunch of free resources, the podcast. We have a weekly newsletter, the 3-day Limitless Leader Playbook. Everything is there for you to dive in.
Carrie, if you could have a billboard on the side of the road and it could say one sentence that would inspire humanity, what would it be?
If you can learn to listen to the nervous system need, the world would be a better place.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Carrie, for being on my show. And thank you, listeners. Please keep sharing the show. It's more than a show. It's a movement. You don't have to be burned out and overwhelmed to be successful. You can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.